Hi guys, it's Megan Segura.
And it's Rachel Roberts.
And this is the Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Every time I say my name now, I think of that meme. And I'm like, ugh.
What meme?
Did you send it? Somebody tagged me and it graced it. Oh, yeah. And I hate the way I say my... I'm like, Rachel Roberts. That's what I feel like I do every time I say my own
Let's
name.
Let's keep this in here.
Yeah. Anyway.
First of all, we're going to be talking about Vanderpump Rules.
Yes. Congratulations, everyone. We've made it through this terrible drought of no Vanderpump. We are here. It's here. We're all celebrating. I literally cannot even.
In this episode. Oh, my God. So we'll also be talking about the Real Housewives of Atlanta. We're going to be talking about the Real Housewives of New Jersey. And we're going to be talking to Tabitha Coffey.
Yes.
The one and only.
Yes, she has a new show. She's coming back to Bravo with relative success.
She's back.
Yeah. She'll be tackling family businesses. Thus the relative success.
Plus, stick around to the end because we're going to be talking about our Rose and Thorn of the Week and doing some fan shout-outs.
Fan shout-out. So, Megan.
Yes.
Yesterday, you were at the New Jersey reunion.
Yes, and I'm still exhausted.
I'm
but
sure.
In a good way. It was just... I got so much information. You know, it's been a while since the ladies had finished filming. So to get them all back together was a big deal, especially for some that are not getting along right now. Which, you know, cough, cough, Siggy and Margaret.
In case you didn't know.
In case you didn't know. So it got heated pretty quickly.
Yeah. Like from the get, everyone.
From the get, but Andy had to keep being like, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. Mm. And you could just, like, they were rearing to go.
So I feel like the most rearing to go reunion I've ever seen was the recent Shaw's one.
Oh, right. Where they just got into it quickly.
Yeah. Compared to that, where was everyone?
I feel like because Andy really wanted, you know, Danielle wasn't out there for the whole time. She's not a housewife this season. So I think he kept wanting to wait to have bigger discussions. So I will say it wasn't as crazy as that, but things, they wanted to go there.
Mm-hmm. Whose look was your fave?
Melissa's hair looked really good.
Hmm. Different?
It was really, I mean, not so different, but like very, she said tousled, but like very textured waves, like super kind of like messy, but in a good way.
Tousled?
Tousled.
Tousled.
Tousled. How do we say it, Grace?
I genuinely don't know.
Tousled or tousled?
Tweet us.
Yeah. Who else? Let's see. I mean, everyone looked great, of course. Danielle had her newly short hair, so she looked good.
Right, right. She had that on Watch Happens Live.
Yeah. I will say it's not like the OC reunion.
There's no resolution.
Well, it's not like that one.
Where's everyone sitting? Let me guess, because I don't know. Okay. I didn't look at the seating chart yesterday. Trey, I'm going to say she's on Andy's right.
Yes.
Or when you look at him, she's on the right.
That's Andy.
Right.
She's there.
Oh, no. I thought she'd be on the other side.
I think she's actually always been on this side. He said something like, you've always sat here.
No, she always sits there. Because that's where she, I remember her pushing him down from this side.
That's true. And also season one, she was in the middle. She wasn't next to him, I don't think.
Right. And then who would be on the other side directly across from her? Let me think about this. I want to say Siggy, but then I don't want to say Siggy. Because I don't think they'd be on the same couch. So I'm going to say Siggy.
Siggy was on the opposite couch. However, it was Melissa sitting next to Andy.
See, this is my... Okay. I almost said Melissa, and I'm mad at myself now. Because it makes sense in the, I want to say, hierarchy?
Well, just because, like, she's been on it
she's
longer
been on
than
the, exactly.
Yeah.
In the world of the show.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I would think that she would be on the same couch as Teresa. So it's interesting that she wasn't. Is that revealing anything?
Well, I mean, you know, you and I have talked about how Teresa's new book, Standing Strong, takes some digs at Melissa. And even throughout the season already, we've seen her take some shots. So they do address that. But I was more concerned with the fact that last year was the first reunion where Teresa and Melissa were getting along.
Right.
And they shared dressing room. So that was a big deal. This year they did not. But Teresa shared her dressing room with Danielle.
Really?
Yeah.
They're that close.
Yeah.
I just...
I know. And they talk about it. They're like, Andy's like, you get that it's hard for fans to believe this, right? And they're like, we get it.
But it is.
But it's true.
Get over it, people. Right. We're friends.
Just like each other.
Interesting.
I mean, sadly, that's basically all I can reveal at this point.
Right, right.
And we have a while before the reunion airs, so.
I was going to say, I feel like this is maybe the earliest reunion taping I've ever.
Yeah, I was surprised when I got the invite.
Yeah.
Like, already?
The only thing I can think of is they wanted to avoid the holidays. So they had to get it in early. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then maybe January would have been too late.
Who knows?
Well, anyway, I'm super jealous, and I hope you had fun.
I did.
And now, let's get into some news without booze, though.
Yeah, it's too early.
Yeah,
what the hell?
Two. Ugh.
Sober news.
But we're so happy to have you here, Laura.
Yeah, I'll spice it up. I'll liven things up around here. Who needs booze?
Yes, Laura Rosenfeld is here with us. She's a Bravo Daily Dish news editor.
Yeah. Hi, Rachel. Hi, Megan.
Hello.
Thanks for having me, as always.
Yes.
So a lot of big stories this week. Starting off, Frederick Eklund welcomed twins recently, as we've all been following his journey to fatherhood on Million Dollar Listing New York over the years. This was particularly exciting since we've seen him deal with some challenges. But he welcomed twins, a daughter Mila and son Frederick via surrogate on November 28th.
Mila, you saying that got me kind of a little emotional because I can hear him talking about baby Mila.
Oh my God, Rachel.
I know. It's been such a long journey.
That's right. I know, because we've been hearing about Mila for years.
Forever, yeah.
Yeah, and so he finally has his little Mila in his life, as well as little Frederick, which, interestingly, has a C in it.
What?
I know.
Same name, different spelling?
Yes. So what technically, he's not Freddie Jr., if you want to look at it that way.
That is crazy. Did he give an explanation?
No. No explanation.
You need to beat it out of him.
No, we need to find out. Tell us, Frederick.
That's really upsetting to me.
Frederick Senior.
Yeah, weird.
I always liked that Frederick was...
With
no
a K.
C. Yeah. I am an original spelling name. My name is more unique than most Rachel, so I like other people that have weird spellings, too.
Well, apparently Frederick was Derek's idea, Frederick Sr.'s husband, Derek. His idea to name their son Frederick. I don't know what the spelling was exactly, but...
Maybe it's all Derek's fault.
Frederick Derek.
Derek, that's what I thought. Maybe it's like a combo name.
Oh. No, but there's no C in Derek.
There's no C in Derek either. No. Where did the C come from?
I don't know.
I got all some right. questions, Freddie.
Nevertheless, Frederick has been posting a lot of really adorable photos now that he is a dad with his children and with his husband, Derek. So I highly recommend to check them out on Instagram because they are too cute.
Looking and they are adorable.
Show me. Oh, God. And they're both so good looking.
I know.
The dads. It's just like this perfect little family.
I know.
Ugh. But aww. Anyway, what else is going on, Laura?
My colleague Jocelyn recently caught up with Top Chef host Padma Lakshmi at an event, and she gave a little update on her love life. She also has a daughter, Krishna, and she kind of teased that she's back with Krishna's father and her ex, Adam Dell.
I love Padma. She said that I remind her of Zooey Deschanel.
Really?
When I met her.
That's amazing.
So I will love her forever.
I can see it.
Megan rolled her eyes to let everybody know. But I love Padma.
Is she as cool and amazing in person as she seems on Top Chef?
Completely. She was like super easy breezy and like she asked me a lot about myself, which a lot of times I was a talent handler as an intern on another show. And a lot of times you don't get that. They're just like, get me things, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But she was very nice. And she told me I was like Zooey Deschanel. So, of course.
She could have spit on you and you'd still be like, she's great.
Exactly, exactly.
So lots of love for Padma.
Yes.
Always. And so even more on the baby front, there have been some reports surrounding Kenya Moore from the Real Housewives of Atlanta that she's undergone IVF in Barbados and that she's even pregnant with her first child.
What? Wait. The rumor is she went to this specific facility in Barbados?
Yeah, she's been photographed outside of this fertility clinic in Barbados. And so there are rumors that she underwent IVF treatment at this facility. So the Daily Dish caught up with Kenya recently when she was visiting New York earlier this week. And we had her tell us what the deal is with all of these reports. What's happening?
I always loved New York. I used to live in New York years and years ago. So I've always loved New York. But I think it just depends on what the next 9 months might look like and what kind of room we'll need and where we'll be in terms of that. So we're figuring it out. But it just depends on where our family, the number in our family, will be in the future.
Oh my God.
Just give it away, why don't you?
She better be pregnant, because otherwise that's just like, you're just trying to make everyone believe you are.
Yeah. I have to say that was very telling, in my opinion.
And did you see her drink alcohol in the office?
No.
There you go, everyone. She wasn't drinking.
It couldn't be clearer.
It was about 11:15 in the morning, you know. I understand why there was no alcohol consumption, but no confirmation, no idea if Kenya's pregnant or not, but she clearly wants to start a family.
Right.
So.
No confirmation, but in 9 months we'll see the number of her family maybe growing and needing more rooms. Okay,
right.
Kenya.
Yeah.
Okay, I see you. We see each other.
I hope she names the baby Barbados.
Oh, that would be cute. And I just think of Rihanna when I hear Barbados.
It would keep with like the location names, you know, Kenya.
Oh,
it would
yeah.
be very, on brand for her.
That's great point.
Yeah. Well, so stay tuned. Keep looking out on the Daily Dish. We'll be covering this and covering all the developments that come up in the future.
Good to know. What else is happening?
Yeah. And so finally, just to shift gears here a little bit, there have been some developments in Shannon Bedore's separation, which she confirmed at the end of October. She officially filed for divorce on December 1st in the OC Superior Court.
I'm glad, because every time I say like they're getting divorced, Rachel's like, they're just separated. So now I can say it. They're getting divorced.
I say this with a heavy heart because I know Shannon is hurting, but I do think this is the best thing for her.
No, definitely is. And even like on her Instagram, she just seems like
lighter.
Like she's moving on. Like mm-hmm. It's very focused on her daughters and her mom.
And her dog. Yeah.
So it's just like, I don't know. Get rid of him.
He's weighing you down.
Good riddance.
Yeah. And I think we've even seen this at the OC reunion, how she was saying how she wants the fun Shannon back. She really wants to show that side of herself again. And even on Watch What Happens Live in November, she appeared. And even though it was emotional for her to open up about this divorce, the separation just a few weeks after she had announced it. She knew it was for the best. She said it was for the best for her and her family, and she's looking forward to just good times ahead. So
with divorce, you have to file something, right? Like what was it? In reconcilable differences? Do we know?
We don't know. We don't know what the reason for the divorce is that has been legally filed.
I love when it's fraud. And then you're like, what does that mean?
Ooh, right.
That's what happened with Renee Zellweger and that country singer.
And that raised a whole lot of questions.
Sure did.
Fraud, could that be cheating?
Or like you're lying about who you are? No, because cheating, I think, is maybe its own category.
Infidelity?
Infidel? Different in every state,
Grace says.
Every state. Well, Grace would know.
Divorce expert over here.
Well, I wish Shannon nothing but happiness on this road.
Yeah, absolutely. We all do.
Do we think we'll get a divorce party in the next season of OC if there is one?
Yes.
Do they ever do that on OC?
I don't think they've done it yet.
I feel like that's like an Atlanta thing.
It's a very big Atlanta thing.
Yeah. But I don't know if any of the OC ladies have ever done that. I mean, Shannon could be the first.
I know. I'm gonna put that bug in all y'all's ear when you're filming next season. Make that happen, please. If there's a next season, we don't know.
Right.
Well, thank you so much, Laura. You gave us so much delicious news today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me. And you can read more about all of this delicious news, as Rachel says. I love that word.
Thank you. Megan is skeptical about it, but I thought it was good. She's icked out by it, but I like it.
You do not think it's delicious.
It was very tasty.
Well, you can find all of these stories and so much more over on The Daily Dish on BravoTV.com.
Okay, so I think we want to talk about Vanderpump Rules. Yes. We can't wait.
Oh, my God. I can't. I was literally gasping a lot, and then everyone made fun of me.
She was being so loud.
But you guys, watching the episode, don't you agree? I don't think I could gasp loud enough.
It was very gasp-worthy. I mean, I have to say kudos to everyone who was involved in creating this episode, because it was one of the best premieres I've ever witnessed.
And something I love about, like, anything in general in, like, movies or television, when the audience knows something that characters or people in the show don't, I love that, because you're just waiting. And then everything is colored so differently.
Right.
And so from the beginning, because we knew that this rumor was happened,
yes,
it just changed everything. Like, had they not done it that way, I don't know if it would have been as good.
So where do you think we should begin?
I want to say at the beginning, a very good place to start. So the beginning is we see it's Sheena's party.
Masquerade birthday party.
And we find out that there's this rumor that Jack slept with someone.
What is going on?
Jax and her had sex.
And then producers ask Jax point blank in interview, Jax, did you sleep with her? Or did you cheat on Brittany? And he goes, like, his classic, like, well, or something like that.
Jax, just tell me the truth. Did you cheat on Brittany?
And then cut to the opening credits! It's like Scorsese level. Like, really, it's so good.
So good. So then, you know, we kind of catch up with where people were. What was it, like, how many hours before then?
Right. It was 2 days before.
Right. Okay.
But much like we learn that there's this rumor the whole time during the episode, we all know now that Sheena has broken up with Rob. And the first thing she says in the whole episode is how much she's in love with Rob and how amazing he is.
Yeah. Rob makes me so f***ing happy.
I am in a new relationship. Rob is someone who brings a lot of positive energy into my life.
I mean, throughout the whole episode, it was crazy how much it was like, you know, it was always Rob.
It was always Rob.
Yeah. He's the person I'm supposed to be with. I'm on to bigger and better things. It was like Sheena. And I love that Lisa Vanderpump was like,
oh, I know. I was like, yes, Lisa, she's like, you married someone.
Right.
You can't say that you didn't feel it at the moment that you were in love with somebody else.
I don't think Sheena is the most reliable source in these cases. I mean, at Katie's wedding, she was telling me that she had butterflies in her stomach for Shay.
You know? I think you and I, though, had the same feeling when she was in The Office, remember, at the end of last season, because she had started dating Rob, and it was like,
she was over the moon.
It was crazy.
Head over heels.
And we were asking, you know, is the new boyfriend going to be on the show? She's like, I don't know. I hope. Well, we saw him.
Yep. Coming out party at her birthday. Which, this is my favorite of Sheena Shea's birthdays. I feel like she really stepped it up.
Yes. The only other one I would say is,
or
like,
Sheena Marie. I called her Sheena Shea. Sorry to interrupt your thought.
No. The only other party that I would say is at the top of my list is the one where, what was it, Tom, where everyone got in a fight. Was that
where Tom punches the DJ?
Yes.
Why can't James? Oh, my God. I'm so sorry I called him the DJ. For some reason,
well,
I couldn't remember.
Then, yeah.
I couldn't remember James' name. But I love James. Sorry, James. I love you.
But I'm glad we got to experience all the new stuff in Sheena's life, because then we got to flash back to the wedding mural wall, which is always my favorite.
Oh, my God. She said that she burned them all on Watch
Like those huge life-size, what would you even call them? Like the 3D sort of wedding photo experience.
I did notice she kept the headboard, though, with the jewels.
And now has a photo of herself in her bedroom.
Yes, yes. I wanted to comment that me and Sheena live the same life because I also have an entire room that's just my closet.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, my roommate moved out, and so my other roommate moved downstairs, so I took the other room. It's just like a closet space.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fancy.
And now I'll never be able to live anywhere else.
So we hear via Stassi, Sheena's very particular about her good side.
Sheena's version of hell is having to take her photo like this instead of like this. Every single photo that she takes, it has to be the exact same angle. She will refuse to take a photo if it's on her bad side.
Can only take photos with the left side of her face.
I mean, I think I need to learn my good side, because literally anytime anyone comes in the office and we take a picture with them, I'm like, well, I'm burning that, or I'm never posting that photo.
I mean, my thought was, I wish I liked any side of my face to have a good side. So right? Good for her.
I know. At least she knows.
Yeah.
Knowing is half the battle. And also, I want to investigate Stassi's Instagram and see which side I'm always seeing.
Oh.
I bet she has a good one.
She did. She said
hers
is the
same. Right.
Okay, but what did you think about Sheena disinviting Katie from her party? Or just being like, hey, I'm not inviting you, FYI.
So, I mean, obviously, you know, it's my birthday and I'm having a party Friday. But I think I don't want you there because I don't want drama at my birthday.
It was very extra, but at the same time, I feel like they all do that. They're always like, so by the way, you can't come to this thing anymore. Or like, that didn't surprise me at all. So everyone, like Katie and Stassi having such a problem with her doing that. I was like, I think that you've done that before.
Probably started the trend.
I was like waiting for a flashback.
Okay. And then again, Tom Schwartz is like, well, I'm going to go because I was invited.
This is why I love Tom Schwartz. He'll just be like, I'm going to go to the party. I'm going to be everybody's friend.
But they seem better.
Tom and Katie.
Yeah.
Yes. No, they seem like solid as a rock. Yeah, except they, what do you think about Stassi going on their honeymoon? I knew this. So when they flashed to that earlier in the episode, I was like, but wasn't Stassi there? And then they do the whole,
I think that maybe she's right. They just have the type of relationship I don't understand. Maybe Aaron and I need a third party. A platonic one.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just invite Stassi next time you go to Costa Rica.
I mean, she would make it fun.
I want to talk a little bit about Logan, James, Raquel, potential love triangle.
Right. Okay, so Logan is a new man in the Vanderpump
universe.
World.
Yes.
Apparently has been friends with James for a couple years,
mm-hmm.
and they're best mates.
Logan's my best mate. We met at Pump Restaurant as I was DJing there back in the day. We go out, we hit the town. Obviously, he likes men, so it was very easy for him to get with the guys, me to get with the girls. So it just works out.
Best mates.
Yeah. And I don't know what to think about that.
Right. James threw Raquel this homecoming party because she came in from college. And I thought it was really cute.
Yeah,
I was
totally.
Like, I would love that. Oh, my God. But when she comes in, Logan is just sitting there like, burr, burr, burr. And they're like all over each other. It was so awkward and cringy.
The look on Logan's face is what made it so uncomfortable.
Yes.
What does it mean?
Right, what does it mean?
Is he in love with James? Are we reading too much into this?
Right, I don't know. But we did see, they did allude to like something in the this season on at the end.
Do you think it was Logan in that?
Yes! Oh, you know, they could have faked us out. It might not even be Logan.
Yeah, you don't know.
But I just wanted to call that moment out because it was hilarious to me.
Ariana has a new haircut.
that apparently Tom likes to masturbate to.
Tom is obsessed with my new haircut. I'm pretty sure he told me he's masturbated to it already like 4 or 5 times. So, good luck to my vagina.
That's nice.
No, she's like... My friend watches this show and she's always like, I mean, I know why they all hate her. She's so fucking beautiful.
I mean,
like, I would have a really hard time being her friend. She's just, and like, she's even hotter now because it's like dirty, sexy hot. Damn, Ariana. Anyway, I clearly have a major crush on her.
Maybe they're taking.
Maybe I could be their Stassi.
Yes.
But not platonically.
Right.
They're doing great, it sounds, but again, in the next on, she said maybe we should just break up.
I think we should just break the f*** up.
I know, I feel like we're headed toward, I mean, you know.
A rocky road.
I have to say, though, this is like the moment I wait for whenever couples get together and they're in that super gloaty phase where they're just like, we have sex all the time. We love each other so much. And I'm like.
I take a vacation every time I look in her eyes.
I'm like. That is so great. That is what happens with every single new couple. Like, it eventually fades a little. Right?
Oh, I mean, when you're just masturbating to someone's hair.
Yeah.
Just kidding. But I just saw them last night on Instagram. They looked happier than ever.
Right.
So, who knows?
Who knows?
I do want to talk about this Tom and her talking, though, and Lisa and Ken overhearing them. And now Tom is possibly not going to happen, or they're going to get edged out of Tom.
One thing I do have to tell you, though, I just finished at the lounge bar. Ariana was done at the restaurant bar, and we were just kind of going over reports and stuff like that. And she asked me about today and different things like I want to talk about. And I was very, you know, candid in my responses, and I noticed that Ken and Lisa were like sitting right around the corner. They were totally eavesdropping on the conversation.
Was it bad?
I voiced some of my concerns.
Is this gonna be an issue that we have to address, or should we just pretend like it never happened?
I mean, maybe if she brings it up, I don't know. See what happens.
Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, somebody overhearing that I was talking about them? I'm sure, but I can't remember.
It happened to me, it was at a last job. And oh. I
was hoping it was going to be like a college story because like what could be so bad in college, but like at work.
Yeah, I know. Well, and like, I mean, once you hear it, it's not so bad. It was just really embarrassing. So there was this other girl that worked there named Megan, and she usually sat at a totally different side of the building. That day, for some reason, was sitting in our area, but I didn't know because she's behind a computer that I couldn't see the face. Didn't know she was there. And my friend Leah was like, are you going to this event on Saturday? And I was like, I have no idea. Megan didn't invite me, even though I asked her to. And Megan goes, you can come if you want. I'll send the email right now. And I was like, oh, God.
Oh, that's the worst. I'm sure it's happened, but I can't think off the top of my head.
Right.
Ugh. But I agree with Lisa. He's being a little upstart, I think. Tom Sandoval.
What does that mean?
An upstart? Like, too big for his britches.
Upstart. Too big for his britches. Yeah, no. I mean.
All right, Peggy.
That is not the same. Yeah. I mean, I see both sides where he is like, $100,000 is not
chump
nothing
change to, me,
to
yeah.
him. So, yeah, you want to make sure that you're actually being treated with some sort of more respect than he would be as a bartender.
Definitely.
But where Lisa's coming from is like, you should be so lucky I even offered you this opportunity because I don't need your money, FYI.
Right. And as of this point, he hasn't put in the money yet.
True.
So it's kind of like she's banking on he's gonna put in the money. But what if he doesn't? And then right. He's put in all this input in and then he never actually pays for anything.
So awkward.
So awkward. But I did want to call out Tom saying comfortability and then flammability and then also nostalgia instead of nostalgia.
Is he a real housewife?
Yeah, I was like, Tom, are you hanging out with our housewives a lot?
I want a feeling in this place of like comfortability, familiarity, heart, nostalgia. People love nostalgia. Nostalgia, is that a word?
Nostalgia.
Nostalgia. There we go.
I mean, same thing.
It made me really happy.
This is all just
really
foreplay.
Yes, yes. It is definitely foreplay because we're not even in yet.
We're not even in.
Too much. Grace, too much.
Not enough. So we get to the party. We find out the rumor is Jax had sex with Faith, who we have met a couple of times on the show.
Right. Megan, when I was watching her talk to them, I was so mad.
Talk to James and Raquel?
No, talk to Brittany and Jax at the beginning of the party. Because I was just like, how dare you? Like, go up. Like, how dare you? Yeah.
How dare you?
Like, I was incensed. Like, the fucking balls on this chick to go up to the person that you slept with and his girlfriend and just be like, la, 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 how you going? I like your mask. Like, what are you doing?
Well, if it's true, what about the balls on Jax?
I mean, equally. He should have immediately walked Brittany away. At least have some kind of dignity of like, I don't want this to be happening.
Yeah.
But maybe it didn't. That's why he didn't do anything.
Right. Okay, but we need to dissect what the rumor is because
Oh my God.
It's so much more than them just having sex.
This is where all the guests were from, you guys, just so you know.
It's like one hit after another another.
First of all, he slept with Faith. That already, yeah. I'm pissed.
Boom.
Boom. It's when he slid into her DMs, apparently.
Boom.
She's working hospice care. it's like you can't write it. She's taking care of a 95-year-old woman
who says at the time that they had sex was asleep, like in the same room.
But if you guys haven't watched the episode,
I really thought what you were about to say was, and if you've never worked hospice care.
No. I am watching Shameless right now, though. And there's the whole, in second season, Joan Cusack does hospice care. So the whole time I was thinking about that.
Right.
Anyway, if you guys haven't watched the episode, please go back and watch Faith talk about it. Because the look she makes on her face.
Right. She's like,
we're doing it right now.
She's impersonating how the old lady looked in the room.
It was like sucking my toe.
Oh my God! It was a situation.
Did she wake up?
No. And he goes, is that the old lady taking care of? And I was like, yeah, that's her. She's sleeping in bed like this.
So that's not even the end of it, though. They have sex. He sucks on her toes. So that made me be like, that's a Jax move. It might
right.
be true.
However, everyone knows he likes toes. So that's
right.
an easy
if
thing.
If I knew
to,
that.
Yeah, yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right, right, to make up. That's true. Two, they have sex and he doesn't have a condom on. Three, I mean, I'm on like 15 now. I don't even know what number I'm on. Then he says, are you on birth control? Too late.
He has no condom on and I'm on my back and my legs are up in the air and he goes, are you on birth control? I'm like, well, no. And then he goes, well, I'm too late.
Too late, Jax?
Too late! And then
Faith hasn't gotten her period.
You say, well, I'm stressed now? Because that situation could lead to something bigger than that. And I have Brittany, who's a
What do you mean bigger than that? What do you mean?
I had to have my f***ing period, James.
Oh, man!
When she said she hasn't gotten her period, I mean,
well, James's reaction basically.
I know, I know. It was so. It's like James is all of us.
Oh my God!
Oh my God!
Oh my God!
Here's the thing: we don't know what happened. However, I think we should end this recap with Jax's words to us in his interview. When he was last in the office.
What can you tell us about this upcoming season of Vanderpump Rules?
It's going to be great for the viewers. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough one. Yeah, I think everybody will enjoy the show. I hope so. But it's going to be a tough season for Vanderpump.
But you're still together. And
we're still together.
Fans have
working
hope.
Hard.
Yeah.
Therapy's helping.
I mean.
So, again, we don't know what happened. I assume we'll find out, I hope soon, if they
Why
make us wait.
Faith going around, though, and telling James Kennedy?
I mean, it so doesn't surprise me right. just because I feel like if you're in this group,
It's what you do.
It's what you do.
Sorry to interrupt you again. I'm still
so, I know, I get it. Don't worry.
I just watched it today, so I'm reeling still. And you guys, just so you know, we have the next 3 episodes. So guess what we'll be doing this weekend?
I mean, sorry, Aaron.
But we'll be talking to Stassi Schroeder, Princess Stassi.
On Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Send us any questions you might have for her.
Yes, please do.
And tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Oh, God, it was so good. Yeah. Do we want to move on to Atlanta?
I mean, obviously.
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 So let's start back up with this Kim and Kenya face-off.
Yes, at Nene's party.
Yes.
God, it had so many names. Yes. Like on
it was a white party, but it was a...
But like a never forget party, yes. But also a seafood soiree.
Right.
It was a lot.
It was a lot of themes at once. So we pick up right where we left off.
And that crazy argument.
My one question.
Yeah.
Where did Croy come from?
Right. Because remember, we ended last episode with me saying, will it be housewives separating them or will it be security?
We were wrong.
It was Croy.
We should have known.
That was nuts.
Yes.
Like, was he just hanging out in the kitchen?
I have more than one question, apparently. Do you think, did you hear injured child?
No. And I wrote down, how could she have misheard that in such a big way?
The only thing, I went back and I watched it like several times because I was like, why? It's such a specific thing. At one moment, you kind of hear there's like a big rustling and everybody's yelling, right? Kenya says something to the effect of like, you should be home. And then there's rustling and then kid.
See whose show suck for John Legend tickets, bitch.
Let me tell you something, bitch. Because you will not talk about my fucking daughter. Like, that's where you cross the motherfucking line.
So I don't know if it's like, you should be home with your sick kid or injured kid or with your kids or whatever. But it was also 2 sentences. It wasn't all 1 sentence.
But so far, I think it was only Sheree. No one else has said that they heard injured child.
Right. And Sheree didn't say it either. She said, I didn't hear it. But right. Kim says.
Right.
I honestly did not hear Kenya say anything about Kim's injured son.
That was it. Like, I heard injured son.
And like, that's a wrap after
that. I will
after
destroy
that.
You, bitch.
But Kim is certainly mad about it. So maybe my memory's just failing me.
So I don't know. But you don't hear the word injured as far as I could tell. But I don't know if it was like you just couldn't hear it in all the hubbub.
And just so everyone's aware, the reason that would be so
important
is because Cash had been bitten by a dog at this time.
Right, and it was a very traumatic experience for the Biermans because there was like a 12-hour period where they were like, my son might not see.
Right.
But what I loved is after they pulled Kim out, they go to Portia's house.
I know.
Right down the street.
I know. Poor Portia wasn't invited, but she got to host the after party.
So good. And I also love, so they're telling Portia what happened, and then Portia says, you know, you don't mention somebody's kid, period. Your injured son and your hoe daughter.
You don't mention someone's children, absolutely. Period, and your injured son and your hoe daughter. You need to stay away from her.
I don't think I caught that.
It's so amazing. To Kim, and there's this moment of like, you can see Sheree being like, is she gonna pop off about that? But they just like move on.
Oh my God.
I don't know, she's making a very like poorly timed joke.
Did Kim laugh?
I just this awkward like,
yeah, that is crazy.
It's so funny. But of course, that's just the beginning of this episode.
Because we have a trip.
Yes, to San Fran, my home. I mean, not my hometown, I'm from San Jose, but the Bay.
Interesting trip for the Atlanta ladies. I forget, what was the reason they were going there?
Sheree's life coach, Jack Daniels, told her to go on a trip for herself.
And she chose San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I liked when Candy was like, this is a money city. It was like the most Candy thing to say.
Ooh, look at that. Look at that beautiful city.
This is a money city. Super expensive to live here.
So they arrive in San Francisco, and first of all, I love that everyone comments how cold it is.
Right.
Because people never know this, but San Francisco is very cold, you guys.
Windy.
Yeah. It's windy and foggy. And then we're on this bus,
mm-hmm.
and people are talking about, like, how much sex do you have? Like, when's the last time you had sex? And then we find out Sheree has a boyfriend.
You love somebody. I don't got you now. Who you love?
Right. And guys, he's incarcerated.
You love someone that you are sexually attracted to,
right.
but you're not having sex with them right
yeah.
now.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that? Are they incarcerated?
Oh, really, Sheree? I am very shocked and surprised by that.
I just don't know what Jack Daniels would feel about this.
That's exactly right. Because she must be telling him everything. What does he think about this?
Right.
So at one point, they do flash back because we've heard Tyrone's name before. It was at that crazy wig shift dinner mm-hmm. in season two.
You just decided to take what Tyrone said.
Right now. Him.
We don't have to do that.
Yeah, let's do this.
We don't have to do that.
We don't really care.
Okay. What you don't understand is okay. while you were running your mouth with him, I was running to the bank, sweetie.
Good, honey.
And depositing a Donald Trump check.
But we've never met Tyrone. So the whole time I'm like, but who's Tyrone? Like,
right.
We do hear Nene say in the next one that she thinks he's a con artist.
Why were you so surprised about her dating him?
I met him before she did.
What was he doing when you met him?
He's a con artist.
I hope he don't con her out of Chateau Charest.
Oh, right.
So I think that maybe next week we'll learn more about him and maybe, like,
I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to be surprising when you find out, first of all, Charest even dating anyone.
Right. Especially because she can't have sex with him.
That's what the whole thing is like, what do they do?
Yeah.
They just talk? Write letters?
Well, in the olden days, Rachel, there was such a thing as courting. You got to know a person before you hopped into bed with them.
Romance! I hope you all got that Sex and the City reference.
So the dinner.
The dinner.
Go to the... Oh my God. Candy was so shady when she said to... She said about Sheree, she was like, oh, well, if I'd known she's going to wear the same old sweatsuit to dinner, why we didn't have to eat like 3 hours later.
Well, damn. If Sheree was just going to wear the same little sweatsuit to dinner, I mean, why did we have to wait 2 hours to eat?
Ugh, Candy. She throws pretty good shade.
Yeah.
I like when Candy gets, like, hyped.
It is funny to me on Housewives, why they always get so dressed up for dinner.
The world is a... stage, you know, it's all
mm-hmm. to outdo each other, I
right
think.
No, I mean, totally. So it gets to the point that it's just like went up and all of a sudden we're like Louboutins to bed.
Well, what I've heard is that in Bev Hills there's gonna be a lot of that.
I'm sure. Oh, no, Ryan said literally, so we just had a meeting with an executive in charge who does Beverly Hills, and he was like, oh, Dorit is in a different outfit every second, basically, right. in this new season of Beverly Hills.
So look out for that. But so anyway, they go to the dinner, and it was basically just a Nene and Portia show.
Yes, but like...
Showdown.
Yes.
Oh, I love that they were arguing. No, you were angry. No, you were angry. Yes.
So you are upset.
No, I'm not upset. You are upset.
So you were angry.
No, so you are angry.
No, well, you were angry.
You're the one that's in anger management.
But you need to be.
No, you need to be.
No, you need to be.
It was so crazy.
I just wrote down Marlo is so extra. Because she is. But I think it's really about it coming out that Portia believed Phaedra about the whole... Candy gonna drug her thing.
Right. But, and I think Nene's thing was she doesn't believe that Portia wasn't aware.
Right. And that's the question, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, but the argument is that Nene, when she was on Watch What Happens Live, said,
freaking fraud. Those are the two that I would get rid of right away, honey. They're declassing the show.
But we end on Nene getting... up, like, pointing her fingers, really mad.
Right. And I think Cynthia runs over to, like, they're holding her back.
Right.
So we'll see more of that next
yes,
time.
Yes. And then, of course, we're going to learn, I think, a little bit more about Sheree's new man.
Yeah. Can I just say, though, I'm getting a little tired of Candy not saying her piece. Like, she clearly wants to say something to Portia. Mm-hmm. Just get it out.
Because she'll say little side things.
Right.
Like when Portia said, I was like, when she said this, I was like, yes, Candy. Because Portia was like,
we are all responsible for our actions.
Oh, we are.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we're going to talk about our actions, but then.
I know Portia didn't just say, we all need to be accountable.
Basically, who said that? Who? You know, like, is Portia really saying accountability? Right. And I, because, like, I don't think that Portia, and I don't want to beat this dead horse, but, like, I don't think that she intended anything. I think she believed Phaedra. But she's got to own up to it. Because in Housewives world, if you own up to it, people can move on. It's the not owning up that creates problems.
True. Yeah. Okay, should we move on to Real Housewives of New Jersey?
Yes, please.
We get what I love about Real Housewives of New Jersey. It's like Christmas time, which is the posh fashion show.
Yes, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
As iconic as the Rockefeller tree lighting.
Truly.
I really do feel this is what sets Jersey apart from other franchises where, you know, the thing is Teresa, Danielle, Margaret, Melissa, they're all wanting to take a stand against Kim D. Mm-hmm. Other franchises would have said, we're not attending. We're upset. They're like, oh, we're going. And so they show up. And let's remember, this whole thing is a charity for the...
This is the car, right?
Yeah. So Kim D's son's best friend and another guy were in her son's car registered to him, and they ended up dead. It was crazy. You can read all about it in the news. But so the whole event was a charity for those two men's children.
Right.
So the fact that Teresa and Melissa are like, oh, we're going to go to this event.
Right.
I mean, say something. I think it was before it started.
Right. It wasn't during the posh fashion show. It wasn't. But again, as somebody said in this episode and in the RHOA episode,
it wasn't the time or the place.
But was it?
I don't know. But I love a good showdown.
Yeah. So basically, they walk in, and it's just like right away. And I love that Kim D was like,
I want to talk to you. Are you all going to talk at the same time? Are we doing one-on-one? What are we doing?
No, I mean, are they scaring you, these
two
ladies?
No. I'm not afraid at all.
What's the problem? I don't understand.
No problem. I'll take you all. Let's go. Come on.
Yeah, all of yous at once.
All of yous at once. It was, it was like she was, like, going to do their hair or something. Like, do you all need an appointment or, and then it just, like, goes off. And by the way, you guys, this was luckily another episode I got to watch, or we got to watch without bleeps yet.
Yeah.
So you heard all of the fuckings again.
Yeah.
It's so good. Nobody curses like a Jersey lady.
Right.
You're a dirty bitch.
It just sounds natural.
Yes.
Yeah. I think what surprised me most about all the ruckus was that Dolores then got in Melissa's face.
That shocked me too.
I mean, I know Dolores is someone you don't want to piss off, but the fact that she so quickly got to 10.
The whole thing made me very upset. It made me really upset that Kim D is just, like, basing this on conjecture.
Right.
Which, like, classic Kim D, you know. I'm not surprised by that, but it upset me. And I'm glad Teresa was like, where does this come from? And she's like, because I wanted to.
Did you see him f***ing another girl?
No, I did not.
All right, then, so why did you
open your f***ing mouth? Because I feel like it.
Right.
And yeah. I was glad that got cleared up, that it's, like, actually based on nothing. You're mm-hmm. just... And also, why isn't Teresa allowed to go out to clubs? And also, why don't I go out to clubs? They made me feel really lame.
You're tired.
I really am. But of all people, I feel like Teresa would be tired, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Ugh, it just made me feel like, why are people thinking I'm cheating on my husband? I don't have a husband. But, you know.
When Teresa and Kim D were in the throes of it, it really reminded me of the Beverly Hills Amsterdam trip. Remember when Lisa Rinna, her natural reaction was to have her hand go for Kim Richards' throat? Looking at Teresa, she was like,
she didn't know what to do
with her hands. She was really restraining herself.
I loved when Margaret got hyped.
You're not allowed to talk to her like that.
You never talk to her like that.
If you throw something at me, girl, you're leaving in handcuffs and going back where you worked.
Don't say that about her. Don't ever speak to her that way.
What are you, her f***ing soldier now?
Ugh. You understand me? Yeah, that was great. Ugh. And then to Teresa's point later, why is it that Margaret, who's known me 5 seconds, stands up for me? Dolores and Siggy didn't.
You guys can't see me, but I'm like raising my hands and like, yes.
Exactly.
And I was thinking about it. And what I've decided is I think Dolores is too hurt by what happened with Danielle and Teresa.
Right.
That she's just like, I'm not taking your side now. And I know this is going to hurt you. And I'm mad.
Right.
And so she's hurt. So she's hurting. Hurt people hurt people.
That's very true.
That's why, you know. But I just was like, you know, this is skipping ahead. But even Frank Catania knows what you should have done, Dolores. And that's walk out.
Right.
Not walk in the show.
Yeah.
I was glad he said that because I was like, he gets it. And they all know it. Like, when Melissa was like, she's like a sister to me, a big sister to me. I was like, come on, Dolores.
I've known her since I'm 16.
Yeah. So it just made me upset.
And then we went to a whole other side of the emotion spectrum.
And the other side of the other side in general.
The other side.
I'm a simple girl who's heard dead folks all my life, and I hope you'll forgive me, but I want to make this clear right up front. I know you lost your mother, but remember that she's not dead. She's not gone. She's right here in the air you breathe.
Nice, but Mommy's not here.
Oh, no, she is here, honey. Your mother has been next to you the whole time I've been here.
That medium was like, wow.
Wow, 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 in your words.
Yes.
I generally do not like psychics and mediums and things like that.
You take the Peggy Lydia approach.
Maybe for those same reasons, but because I feel like it's taking advantage of hurt people.
Mm.
And so I find that to be kind of like abhorrent. But
she seemed...
But this made me be like, maybe they exist. I don't know. Mama, the song. And I was sobbing at my desk.
I mean, the things she knew were crazy.
When she said the song and Melissa freaked out and then the running thing.
Yes.
She tells me before she passed, she had a hard time walking and that now she can run.
Oh, my God. When Joe's mom was in the hospital, I was... standing next to him as he would whisper in his mother's ear, it's okay, Mom. Go run now, Mom. Go run. Those were his words to her.
I'm getting chills now thinking about it. Ugh.
But yeah, it was a... I want to go see that medium.
Oh, I know. I never mix alcohol with dead people was something else she says.
Can I get you some water?
Oh, I'd love
wine,
that.
Vodka?
Oh, my God. I never mix alcohol with dead people.
That gets a little funny.
Okay, so I really want to, because I know for a fact this will play a part in the Milan trip. It's going to be a big point of contention between Siggy and Margaret. When Margaret said to Siggy at the dinner last episode,
but Siggy, Hitler would have not killed me. Does that make him a good person?
Wait, hold on.
Wait.
Mm-hmm. What did you think?
This is what I think. It reminded me of what Kelly said to Peggy. My dad's going to call your dad.
Right.
It's like, it's not a turn of phrase because I don't think that you're just like saying Hitler all the time necessarily, but it's a hyperbolic example. It's not really saying that you're Hitler. It's not really, maybe not the best choice of words, but it was just like something to say. It wasn't necessarily.
Maybe to think of just the most evil thing.
Yeah. That's what I took it as.
Same.
But I could see referencing Hitler with someone that you're friends with might be a problem.
Right.
Like if someone called you Hitler, I'd be like, I don't know if she's Hitler. She's kind of, you know.
Right. Great. Because so, you know, then that comes up again. Siggy's very hurt about that, whole Hitler reference.
Mm-hmm.
But Siggy says,
I'm in shock. I mean, seriously, where's this coming from, Margaret?
She's missing a sensitivity chip.
And I just wanted to give everyone a little history lesson about that particular phrase.
Oh.
Back when Brad Pitt left Jennifer Aniston for Angelina Jolie.
Oh, my God.
Shortly after, Angelina and Brad did a spread in W Magazine because they were promoting the movie Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Where they met.
Yes. And the whole spread, the theme was them being a 50s family. So it's them in a backyard grilling. They have children. And someone, I think it was Vogue, asked Jennifer Aniston about it. And she goes, I think he's missing a sensitivity chip. And it's interesting Siggy would repeat it. Because as a relationship expert, I'm sure she like kept up on all of that. So.
Right, interesting. Do you think that Jennifer Aniston created that turn of phrase?
It's kind of like conscious uncoupling. Like, it may have existed before, but she really put it in the lexicon.
Oh, I didn't realize.
That's your lesson for the day.
Yes, thank you.
I do know this conversation is not over. Just being at the reunion, I've seen, like, this will play out again and again. So, there you go.
All right, let's get into my interview with Tabitha Coffey. I really enjoyed talking to Tabitha. I think that a lot of people think that because she's so blunt, she might be a little cold, but nothing of the sort. She was completely lovely, totally warm and opened up. And we talked about everything from having fame at 40 to like what you should do with your ponytail to make it not give you a receding hairline. Hey, everyone. I am here with Tabitha Coffey.
Yay!
We were just all talking about hair in general, and Molly had a question because she said she doesn't do top knots anymore because she's afraid she's going to get a receding hairline if she pulls her hair too tight. Does that happen?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a lot of Naomi Campbell was really vocal about all the breakage she had through her hair. That was from her extensions. But if you wear a ponytail all the time, a bun all the time, a top knot, especially because when we do it to ourselves, we always tend to put it in the same spot, right? You grab it and you always put it in the same spot. And if you're using tight rubber bands or just doing it too often, it starts to make the hair fragile and it can break.
Oh, my God. Thank you for letting us know, Molly. Stop doing
that. See? So do you want the tip? Because you don't have to stop. So the tip is to make sure you use really good hair bands. Mm. There's bands called bungees.
Okay.
And they're open. And they have like a little clip on either side. So you wrap them around and then hook the clip together. It's not just a circular rubber band.
Okay.
They're super easy to find. You can find them at drugstores and beauty supplies and things. And then just change the position all the time. So if you always do your ponytail, which we do, like it's right in the same spot all the time, move it up a little, down a little, just kind of move it so that it's not that fragile spot all the time.
That's such a great tip. I wouldn't even think to move it. Well, now we know.
Now you know.
I wanted to start at the beginning with Sheer Genius. I know you auditioned on Kind of a Lark. You like heard it through models, I think, that you were working with. Did you ever envision then getting your own show and becoming a reality star?
No, that's just ridiculous. I still think about it and go, A, I don't quite know what propelled me to do it and to actually go and show up to the casting. That still is just amazing to me sometimes. So I'll just say that it was the universe and totally meant to be. I still remember when I was called in to the Bravo offices after Sheer Genius, a couple of the people aren't here anymore. Andy is still here. Andy was the executive then. And I went into the office and I honestly thought everyone was calling me in to give me like a t-shirt. I thought I was going to get like a t-shirt and, you know, thanks for playing along with us. And here's your contract. We're going to rip it up. Bye-bye. Like that's kind of what I thought would happen. And they offered me a TV show.
Yeah. Was it Tabitha takes over from the beginning where they're like, we want to do something with you and you kind of developed it together?
Actually, I have to say Bravo really great because it was just an idea. Like we would like you. We're interested in you if you're interested in doing a TV show. And here's who we'd like you to speak to. And I was very specific. I didn't want to be followed. It wasn't about my house. I didn't want you in my home. I didn't want you up my ass at my business. I didn't want my staff bothered. I didn't want my clients bothered. It was just, that's not me. And that wouldn't have worked for me. But I knew I wanted to do something within the business hair realm. And then through speaking, we developed, all of us actually, just talking about what I loved and what I was into and what I thought, developed Tabitha's Salon Takeover, and then Tabitha takes over.
Right. Back to Sheer Genius, it's kind of like a Clay Aiken, Ruben Studdard situation where like the runner-up, or I know you came in sixth, but you were fan favorite, and you, like,
was
you
I
know,
sixth?
I think we were one of the top six finalists. I watched for sure, but I can't remember.
You could totally be right. I thought I was there a little longer than that, but who knows? Who remembers? It was a double elimination.
Yeah,
you're
I was
right.
gonna say. I think it was one of those things that it was like multiple people. Looking back now, I guess. Did you think it was like done once you got eliminated?
Oh yeah, honestly, I thought it was done. I mean, I thought it was done, over, went home, went back to work. I think I went to work the next day after flying home, and I went back to work the next day, and then got a call for us to do the reunion, which actually was on my birthday. So we had to go to Los Angeles and film, and it was actually my 40th birthday, and I won fan favorite. So that was amazing. I was like, oh my God, this was kind of cool. Come back, do this, get a lovely check for my birthday. Bye. And that's why when I got the phone call to come into the Bravo office, I really thought it was a t-shirt and thanks for playing with us. That was kind of cool.
That's
I
so amazing.
Didn't realize what was going to happen.
So I think so much of the reason why everyone loved you is like your blunt personality. You tell it like it is. Have you always been like that?
Yes, to a certain extent. It's definitely, as I've gotten older, when you're young, you're not always quite as honest, and it's hard to be really honest, because I think it's hard to be honest with yourself as well. But yes, I have always been direct.
If someone was, I guess, struggling with being so direct, do you have any, what gives you, I guess, the strength or the courage to be so?
If you don't say what you need or what's important to you, you're not going to get it. So I think people misunderstand and think that when you're direct, you're mean. And it's not about being mean. It's about standing up for what you believe in and standing up for what you need. And sometimes it's hard to hear, for sure, when you're on the receiving end. I know that it can feel really hard. But when it's done in the service of help and to move you forward and so you have a breakthrough and become unstuck, it's done in the right way. And when you're being honest with yourself and the people around you that love you and your friends, it's so that you can have the life you want. And there's nothing wrong with that.
I wanted to talk a little bit about your mother. I know you said that she owned a strip club, a burlesque style club. Did that kind of wild side rub off on you at all? Or was it the opposite and like you were more conservative?
I guess it rubbed off in maybe not in the visual sense of what everyone sees, but definitely in my philosophy and my beliefs. You can't grow up in that environment and not have it affect you. So, you know, I may not be the stand on the table like girl screaming, although when I was young, I was definitely a good time when I was young. So I was definitely a good time. When I was a young girl. Not that kind of good time. I know everyone's sitting at home going, really? Not that kind of good time. But, yeah, I mean, I had fun when I was younger. I think it lets you, growing up in that environment shows you why it's important to be authentic and why it's important to be yourself. And that's the biggest lesson and the best lesson that it taught me.
Something that struck me, you were just saying that, you know, when it was your 40th birthday for the Sheer Genius finale party, which is so inspirational that I feel like you weren't 25 and got your own TV show, you know. Do you think it helped you kind of having the experience and then getting it later in life?
If I had have had a TV show when I was young, I would have been totally screwed, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I wouldn't have known how to process it and deal with it. So, yes, timing is everything. And being older and having different responsibilities in my life, like a business and a partner and people that depended on me and things that I needed to take care of, I had already moved into a different phase in my life. And I was very grounded. I knew who I was. You know, we all change, but I knew who I was. So having a TV show didn't change me, didn't change who I was. My life didn't change. You know, I didn't go out and buy a fancy Maserati or blow a lot of money on, you know, the crazy house and all of those kind of things. That wasn't important to me. And I think if I was young, I would have made many different choices and they probably wouldn't have been good ones.
Those dancing in the table days.
There would have been dancing on the table and many other things that would not have been a good time.
I wanted to talk a little bit about another strong lady that you were on her show, Joan Rivers.
Oh, God. So I know this sounds so bizarre. I was devastated. I cried for days. Like, literally just cried for days. I couldn't bounce back from it, and it was weird because I felt I was so emotional, and I don't get overly emotional about some things. And it really just hit me, and I was just super devastated. And I can't remember who. Someone had reached out and asked if I would do a tribute video, and I kept crying through it. I couldn't even do it. Joan was one of those people that I had met her several times, and I was lucky enough to do Fashion Police a couple of times, and I did In Bed with Joan, which is my favorite interview I've ever done, hands down. It's just my favorite.
I just watched it yesterday. It was
so
great.
Good. And I had seen her a couple of times at other things and would bump into her. And she was so kind, just so ridiculously kind and such a professional and so open to sharing and not a diva whatsoever. Hmm. And that was really amazing when I did In Bed with Joan, because you film it in her house and she was there, she was getting ready. And she asked me to have a seat because she doesn't like to talk to people before the interview. And after the interview, she took me into her kitchen and wanted to pack me muffins for the drive back to the hotel because it was going to be a long drive and I'd sit in traffic and I needed something to eat. It was amazing.
Oh, my God.
And just really so incredibly kind. And I really, the relationship she had with Melissa really resonated a lot with me because I was so incredibly close to my mom. So I just kept looking at what happened with Joan as not just a colossal mistake that someone had made and how devastating that was. I knew how Melissa felt, and it just kept breaking my heart because I'd lost my mum, and I know what that felt like, and I couldn't imagine, you know, how Melissa must be dealing with it and her son. So it was devastating. But I'm so honoured that I got to meet her. She's definitely, it's weird. You know, you do a lot of things and you go to a lot of, you guys know, you go to a lot of Bravo events and you do a lot of interviews and you do a lot of stuff. And it's hard to keep track of everything sometimes. And you forget a lot of the people you meet. And when you meet someone like Joan, it really makes you just stop for a second and go, this is really cool. You know, the cool thing about what I do is not really being on TV. The cool thing is the people that I meet and some of these icons that are just really classy, amazing people.
That's amazing. It's so great to hear that she is amazing as mm-hmm. I always hoped she was. Yep. You and her have something similar besides, I feel like, your bluntness, but iconic hairstyles.
I guess we do.
How does someone cultivate that? Is it just always keeping it, or how do you cultivate like an iconic style?
I think it's just finding what works. You know, I think when you look at a lot of the people that probably do have iconic hairstyles through different ages, it's because it works. That's what it is. You know, as one would expect, my hair is also difficult. It's not just my mouth that gets me in trouble. My hair is difficult as well. And it's not very nice sometimes. It doesn't want to play with the things that I would like it to do. And I know that, and I know the limitations. So now it's just much easier to play within that box. And I think that's what, you know, when you look at a lot of people, Lisa Rinna, right, has an iconic hairstyle. Joan had an iconic hairstyle. Even, you know, Jackie Kennedy, that mm-hmm. was an iconic hairstyle. It there's little tweaks here and there, so there's little subtle differences that kind of all keep us feeling like it's very different and very, very, you know, change-worthy. Probably not so much to the outside world, but we know what works in our little box of what we can do based on our hair.
I think it's comforting for me to know that you even struggle with your own hair, because I feel like it's such a common thing.
I struggle with many things. My hair is just one of them. But yes, I struggle with my hair, and I do. I know the limitations. What you guys don't see is sometimes when I've really done something bad and kind of screwed it up, and it's normally in a hotel room and I'm on the road and I'm traveling, or sometimes it's, you know, just the worst time. Sometimes it's, oh, God, I've got to go and do an event and I'm going to see all these people and I've been home for a few weeks and I need to do whatever, or my regrowth needs to be touched up and I do something crazy and then I'm like, oh, shit, that didn't work. It doesn't look so good. Now I've got to go and fix it. So you don't get to see all of that. I don't share that with you. But yes, that happens too.
Tabitha is one of us.
Yeah, totally.
I saw you recently retweet the Kate McKinnon impersonation of you on SNL.
Yes.
I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
I thought it was fabulous. They need to have me on and we'll go head to head.
Did you hear that, Kate?
Her accent was actually great. No one can do an Australian accent.
It's so true. People try.
People just can't do it. So please don't try, okay? That's my key to everyone out there. Don't try. Don't come up to me and say g'day if you can't do it, because it will just do my head in. English people can do. It's a little easier. The Australian thing, everyone messes it up. She did pretty well, though.
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
I loved it. It was so funny.
It was funny.
I also wanted to ask you, you do this fun thing called a Sophie Stanbury's choice instead of a Sophie's choice.
It's Sophie Stanbury here. Get the tunes on because I'm ready to dance, bitch.
If you had to either change your hair or never wear black again, what would you choose?
Change my hair. That just I just broke out in a sweat then. That just got me all, woo. Totally changed my hair.
Yeah, and to be clear, she's wearing all black right
totally.
Now.
Always.
Classic. Did you always kind of have that aesthetic?
Yeah, it's a hairdresser thing for sure. Hairdressers predominantly wear black and there's a reason why we wear it. So it comes from there and it's just easy and it's comfortable.
You know what? Every time I get my hair cut, I think of you if they aren't wearing black. Because I'm like, Tabitha would not like this.
Tabitha wouldn't approve.
So I know fans are like over the moon that you're coming back to Bravo. Tell us a little bit about Relative Success.
It's really great. I'm really excited to be back. The big difference is they're family businesses. So it's all the drama of what you'd expect from me of going into a business that isn't doing really well. The real drama happens because these are families. And they're working together, in some cases, working and living together. They're generational. There's all the family dynamics that we all have, all the hidden stuff that we don't talk about within our families. That's all there as well. And then when you put all of that on top of the pressures of work, on top of a business that isn't doing well, it's all simmering below the surface and then it just explodes. So it was very dramatic and a little exhausting, I have to say.
More so than other takeovers?
Much more exhausting. It was, the difference is this time it's 3 weeks, so I'm with them a lot longer looking at them, and it's more of an experiment. It's up to them to really take the advice that I'm giving them and apply it daily, as opposed to me just kind of doing it all and then hoping they carry it forward. So there is a different approach to it. It takes much more responsibility and work from all the families, but there's just so much family drama in there that it was draining, really draining.
Do you take that on a lot when you're in that situation?
I take all of it home. And I think that's the thing that a lot of people don't realize. It's not, you know, there's no time clock. You don't clock in and clock off and go home. I go home and I work. And I work about, here's what I found out today. And that's really, you know, I either didn't think of that or that wasn't expected that we were going to, you know, find that out. And how do you solve it? How do you deal with it? How do you, you know, get people on the same page? How do you kind of get through all this family drama that you weren't expecting? So, yeah, I go home and replay the whole thing and then think about what the best course of action is to move forward, and then start all over again. So you never really leave it.
Mm-hmm. Did anything surprise you throughout the season, like considering it is so different than other businesses you've worked with?
I think the most surprising thing is how we're family, right? And you pretty much can't get any closer than your family. It's blood. And sometimes how people think it's okay to do a certain thing or say a certain thing or treat someone a certain way because it is family, where they wouldn't do it to someone else. And that was interesting. Seeing it time and time again played out in front of me, and that often be the basis of the problem. Mm-hmm. That was the interesting thing, how what we do to our family is what we would not do to our friends or other colleagues out there in the world.
Definitely. Well, I'm really excited to watch. That sounds very dramatic.
It is.
Well, thank you so much for making the time, Tabitha. Thanks, I really appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you so much again, Tabitha, for coming in. First of all, you look fucking amazing. When you said that your 40th birthday was at the Sheer Genius reunion, I was like, what? No way. You look phenomenal. You were such an amazing guest, and I'm so excited to watch Relative Success. Everybody, please tune into Bravo on January 17th at 10, 9 Central to watch her take over again. But it's that time of the week for the rose and the thorn.
Right. What's your rose?
I had two roses this week. One, they're both Atlanta. One is Marlo fixing Nene's bun during that fight. Like, Nene's screaming.
It's a real friend.
At Portia, and she's like, just like taking the bun and like slightly fixing it and twirling a strand around. It just like made my day. And the second one is Cynthia's monochrome maroon look and interview. I gasp, obviously. That's a thing I do. But I gasped because she looks so amazing.
She did.
Like, her hair matched her dress, and it just was like, yes. And that's like my favorite color. I was just really excited.
What was your thorn?
My thorn was in Vanderpump Rules, Brittany finding out, but then when she said, so everyone's been talking about it all night.
No, so everyone is talking about that. It's not.
That was my thorn too, honestly. Like, I mean,
it's just,
she is such a sweet person, and you want to believe that Jax can change for her, and I still hold on a shred of hope that he did,
it's all a big lie.
But
there's something about her. Obviously, it's upsetting, but then like, when it's always you're the last to find out, and then you feel like the butt of the joke, and it makes it that much worse. And her, the sadness in her voice when she said that, it just, ugh.
My rose is from Atlanta too, and it's the fact that Brent is just like Greg. When he was in Nene's closet, like, he just is the exact same type of goofy as Greg.
Yes.
That I thought, like, Nene really has her hands full with them.
Aw, that makes me happy. And now it's time for fan shoutouts.
Fan shoutouts.
It's just a bird, you guys.
Okay, so I do want to do a special fan shout out because Dance Danny Dance is
Dance Dance
basically the best fan ever.
Yes.
Couldn't figure out how to leave a review on iTunes, which I get it. I've been there. And she reached out to me on Twitter, and we looped in Grace to help. And in the meantime, she sent me a direct message on Instagram. It was a video where she's just like, hey, I really want to leave you this review. I just can't figure it out. Help. I love you guys.
And we love you, too.
We love you, too. Like, it was the cutest, funniest thing ever. And I wish I still had it on my phone so I could play it. But thank you.
Yes. And she left us a review, and it was so nice. And she said, Grace is magic at the top, first of all. And then she said, this is exactly what you need to listen to when you miss an episode, but you're still going to watch it if you only have a few minutes to find out what happened. I really like listening to them because they ask what I'm thinking. And she says, we feel like friends. And I'm so happy. That's like exactly what we want you guys to feel like, because you are friends. As Sonia would say, welcome to my group of friends.
Welcome to my friend group.
And then I also wanted to call out Dana Lee, Texas. It just says TX, but I like to think that it's Texas. She wrote living for this Bravo Daily Dish interview with Kyle Petty. Yes. Talk about a nice interview surprise. Rachie Ra, Meg Segura, y'all are my faves. My fave podcast, Love Thursdays. Yes. Oh,
yes.
That just makes us Thursdays? So happy. Ugh.
It really does. Like, I had a moment this week that I was like, man, I'm so happy about our fans. Because I do feel like friends. Then I get to talk to more people about it, which is awesome.
Right. So keep them coming. You can always tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish. You can reach out to me on Twitter and Instagram at Meg Segura.
You can find me on Twitter at Rachie Robb. That's RachieRobb. There were some EYs this week that I saw, which was very adorable. And then on Instagram at Suspiciously Small.
Do you want to spell out suspiciously?
S-U-S-C.
And yeah, leave us reviews on iTunes. If you can't figure out how, Grace will show you.
Right, Rachel, hook you up.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys.